Good morning, Chorus Call operator speaking. Welcome to the presentation of the first half 2022-2023 results of UniEuro. I'd like to remind you that all participants are in listen-only mode. Following the initial presentation, there will be a Q&A session. In order to receive help from an operator during the conference call, please press star followed by zero. Now, I would like to give the floor to Mr. Giancarlo Nicosanti Monterastelli, the CEO of UniEuro. Mr. Monterastelli, the floor is yours. Thank you and good morning, everyone, from me and Mr. Marco Pacini, our CFO, and Bruna Olivieri, our General Manager. So let us now take a look at the main figures of the first half that we disclosed yesterday. I have to say that despite the fact that the market is now slightly dipping after 2 years of strong boom, and nevertheless, we outperformed the market with an outperformance of about 2 points. Of course, a lot has been helped by the online channel, plus 23%, whereas there is a slight dip in the indirect sales affiliated, which in the last year, in the first half, were benefiting from the department stores, commercial centers, and so the attention of the consumers was shifted to those kind of stores because they were always open. Then there is an increase in negative of the white, which is the large appliances, and UniEuro leads the market in this industry, and this is driven both by the air conditioning that is actually benefiting still now from the tax incentives that the government approved and passed for the refurbishment of the of homes, and a still significant growth in services. And as you are all aware, this is a very important contribution to the income statement of the company. On top of that, what is extremely significant for us is the increase in the Net Promoter Score, because I believe this is the best evidence of the fact that all the activities that we are carrying out in engaging with our consumers, this actually leads to a very satisfying score from the consumers themselves. And this has been on the rise for many years for our company, both online and offline. And I believe that this is one of the milestones in the growth of our company that is in counter trend vis-a-vis the market. It is up. And as you saw in the figures that we published, we, like all the rest of the market, we were mainly subject to the rise in the energy costs, and which remarkably impacted the income statement, as well as the another impact on the income statement were the effect of the double-digit write-down of the procurement contracts, due to the increase in inflation and the inflationary pressure. Of course, this drove to a decrease in the EBIT-related results, but nevertheless, it is still a very positive figure, because 12 million, it is definitely lower than last year, but if we think of the pre-COVID era, we actually have the result is double than what we had there. And the same also goes for the net income. Another remarkably positive figure is cash, and this was the result not just of the market that held up, but also because our company was very mindful of its stocks. And so there was a positive result in spite of the dividend payment. And then we also published the guidance for the next half. Now, moving on to page 5, very quickly, actually slide 6, looking at the market. This market actually reported minus 0.9%, whereas our company was able to grow both online and offline with global result of +2.7%. As to the product category, our company basically outperformed the market, and of course, the most negative effect ensued from the brown segment, because some components of the brown segment benefited from the first part of the half due for the frequency switch off. This was supposed to happen in June, but it's been continuously postponed, and we believe that it will be deferred till the end of the year. But there are no many positive effects here. Therefore, there was a decrease in this segment overall. Also, the gray segment, and we're talking about IT here and telecom. The IT is decreasing after the binge shopping by consumers during the 2 years of the pandemic, when both the remote learning that was performed by millions of students, and also the remote working by workers, of course, had resulted in a high shopping binge here. And then there is the telecom sector, where we basically experienced an increase in particularly here. Then as to revenues, as we were saying before, in spite of the past 2 years, where there was nearly +20%, we actually achieved the record-breaking figure of nearly 1.3 billion, therefore touching a historical record for our company. As far as the financials are concerned, I give the floor to Marco. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Giancarlo. We have four charts to show you. The first one is the one I'd like to dwell upon. So on the left, you have three parameters that actually appear in the income statement. On the and then on the right, you have some other parameters. Let's start with sales. We already said that the market dipped, and whereas we rose by 1.9%, like for like 1.5% to this growth. So this growth happened mainly thanks to the white segment and the excellent performance of the online. As far as channels are concerned, the online growth more than offset the reduction in sales by the wholesale partners and affiliated. In this mix of both channels and category is very positive, because I'm very sorry, but the sound is really bad. And explains 2 million impact on the accounts. So there was also an increase in the extended warranties and services in general, and this is resulted in a rise in the percentage of the margin year-on-year, +0.3%. So good news in terms of sales margin. However, adjusted EBIT was down. So why did it drop by 15.1%? The reason is costs. So the main parameters that were impacted by inflation were energy, 15.5 million euros, and I'm very sorry, but the sound is really, really bad. coming back to EBIT. So adjusted EBIT is decreasing by 15 million euros, and it went from 27 to 12.1, and this decrease is due to the increase in costs. The main component of rising costs was electricity. In the first half, it was 15.5 million euros, plus 8 million euros vis-à-vis the previous year. Then, as far as the forecast for the year, 26 million euros for electricity. Once again, a rise of 8 million vis-à-vis the previous year. So 18 million euros. Then, as far as another item of cost rising year-on-year, in the first half, we actually saw a rise in rents because our contracts basically foresee a rent fee that is linked to the change in Istat, and inflation had a negative impact on transportation costs. Obviously, Unieuro does not transform anything. Unieuro buys and resells, but it needs to transport, and very often, deliveries happen not only to the stores but also to the doorstep of customers. The impact on the total year is 6 million euros, 6 million in the first half, 3 million euros in transportation, 3 million for rent, 8 million for electricity. We already have 14 million euros, which is the impact of costs. It is not, therefore, by chance that the EBIT decreased by 15 million euros year-on-year. Let us now take a look at the adjusted net income, which is the last chart on the left. So this figure worsened by about 18 million euros, and of course, the performance of the net income is to do very much linked to the EBIT trend, and there is also a negative change in terms of taxes. In the previous year, in the first half, Unieuro had forecast a realignment of the tax values for the statutory financial statements. The positive impact in the first half of last year basically translates in a negative change year-on-year. The negative change in tax year-on-year amounts to about 3 million euros. And about tax, it is important to highlight that the tax rate for the coming years has been confirmed at 10%. I will be even more precise thanks to the past credit that were already in the financial statements. We envisage 10% for the coming 5 years in terms of tax rate. So on the right part of the chart, net financial position, the NFP at the end of the first half amounts to 71 million euros, strongly much better than the net financial position recorded in the previous period, 25 million euro. This positive change has to do with the destocking, partly in the first quarter where the stock was 30 million euros higher than the stock of the end of the year. At the end of the first half, the stock amounts to 430 million euros, 30 million euros lower than the start of the year, which means that we have destocked for 70 million euros. If we actually analyze the performance of the net financial position vis-à-vis the end of February 2022, the NFP went from 136 million down to 71 million euros. And the reasons for this is, first of all, luckily enough, we paid out dividends, 27 million euros. So 136 minus 27 million dividends, 109 million euros. That was the starting point. We lost a further 38 million in the net financial position, and this is to do in the change of the working capital. As you can see, debt dropped by 40 billion euros, trade payables, because at the end of the previous year, we made a lot of purchases, our stock increased, but since the terms were set 60, 90 days, the debts were payables were repaid in the first quarter of the current year. So dividends plus changes in the payables. And this impacted also the adjusted free cash flow that amounted to 34.5 million euros negative, and it's all to do with the working capital. As a matter of fact, the net income of UniEuros is 1 million euros reported. If we did not have any changes in net working capital, we would have had an adjusted free cash flow of zero. The adjusted free cash flow is the net income minus the change in the working capital. So, chart number 9, we already commented it when talking about sales. So I would like to now move on to slide number 10, where you, at the top part, you see the change in EBIT adjusted. You see the first rectangle in the top left, 10.2 million euros gross profit linked to the rise in revenues. And the margin, well, this rise is to do in the increase in the number of stores, about plus 9 units year on year on average, and this generates higher costs. And these higher costs basically are, in addition to the 14 million euros already described, result in about 20 million euros plus cost. So the costs that you can see are in red. These costs have to do with energy, rent, and transportation. Transportation also rise like for like. And on top of this, there is the rise in the number of stores. I think that this slide has been commented extensively, and also chart number 11 that Ray basically talks about the financial position. I'd like to focus on the bottom left, where you see there is a start of 135 million euros at the start of the year to 71 now. And the two rectangles in red are the reduction of adjusted free cash flow, 35 million euros, and the dividends paid out in for 27 million euros. And now I'd like to give the floor back to Giancarlo, slide number 12. Thank you, Marco. As you can see, this is the situation of the network unchanged in the first half. There have been at the same time openings and closures, both in terms of DOS, directly owned stores, and also in terms of wholesale partners and affiliates, so the perimeter stayed the same. Then as far as the total retail area is concerned, this is also yet a figure that matches perfectly the previous year's figure, whereas, as I was saying right at the beginning of the presentation, what really matters for us is the consistent and ongoing increase, and hopefully it will still be like that, the increase, I was saying, of the Net Promoter Score. This is a staggering growth because we went from 49.7% to 53%, so a very, very satisfying figure as far as we know, to our knowledge. This is definitely the best result in our segment, the consumer electronics. The loyalty cards, that's another unchanged figure, whereas on the workforce, if you want to ask any question, we'll give you more colors. So there is a decrease in demand. Therefore, the workforce was also impacted by that, with a decrease of nearly 2 points vis-a-vis the previous period. So the last slide here has to do with the outlook of the first half results. I believe that questions will pertain to the development of demand that we foresee. Well, we actually expect difficulties in demand because of inflation, increase in energy costs, and also as the result of the psychological effect of the war on the consumer sector. Therefore, out of experience, we tend to believe that the demand will be subject to a shift, and the consumer sentiment is expected to remain at a low level. Of course, this also takes its toll on some specific product categories, because during recessions, consumers tend to favor products that have an average ticket that is lower than others. This is what will happen compared to the two previous years. And definitely inflation also plays, takes its toll on salaries and wages that are not actually being adjusted accordingly. Of course, we have taken a whole range of actions that are aimed to control costs and also to maintain or maybe increase profitability. And what you saw in the first half will probably be matched in the second half. Then, in keeping with the promise we made to the market, we published and disclosed the guidance concerning the full year 2022-23, and this basically reads revenues of about 2.9 billion with an EBIT in the range of between 35 and 40 billion and net cash in the range of 110-130 million at the end of the full year. We disclosed all this yesterday, but we believe that they are perfectly in keeping with the time we are living in. Of course, the positive thing, as we saw in these figures, in these results, is the fact that the company has a very healthy financial position, and this helps us handle and tackle the tough times like the ones that we are experiencing. Yes, these are times of crisis, but actually they come after 2 years of it plus 20 in the market. So we could definitely expect some difficulties to be encountered. Of course, the war that broke out in February last year, the increase in the energy costs at the end of last year, all this does not definitely help in the purchase power of consumers. And of course, we obviously remain committed in the execution of the strategic plan. So this is the end of my presentation. I now give the floor to the financial community. Both myself, Marco, and Bruna are available. Thank you for your attention. Chorus Call operator speaking. We will now start the Q&A session. Whoever wants to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your keypad. In order to exit the booking list, please press star followed by two. Please ask your questions by speaking into the microphone. Whoever wants to ask a question, please press star followed by one now. The first question from Niccolò Storer.
Good morning, everyone. I have a few questions, and I'd like to start from the most straightforward ones. The first one has to do on the television set trends. We saw that in this second quarter, as a matter of fact, we have basically offset nearly the increase in the second quarter last year in the brown category, and now we are faced with a third quarter where the comparison year-on-year will be challenging. So what do you see? What do you expect? Do you think that shopping will focus towards the end of the year when people will basically realize that their TVs will have stopped working? Or do you think that this slowdown in demand and this deterioration of the consumer sentiment actually will result in a downwards revision of expectations on the increase in the sale of TV sets? We mentioned about 125 million effect in the previous fiscal year that was to be. But I think that we are really distant and from this. The second question has to do with the effect of inflation on sales prices. I was very much amazed and surprised to see some categories like white and gray categories that were positive in the second quarter. So I wanted to ask you whether you could understand the effect of inflation on prices on your reported revenues. The third question is on services, what you are experiencing in the sale of services in the stores. And of course, we will see this in the income that we'll see in the income statement in 2 years' time. And the last question, probably more complicated, has to do with the guidance. So I wanted to understand how you see what's your take on the second half of the year in all its different components. And I'll give you an example. The gross margin, we saw that it is holding up and perhaps rising. Should we expect this trend to persist in the second half of the year? We saw that the marketing is dipping. Is this a shift and/or maybe you're doing something about it, and maybe there can be a decrease in marketing costs? Electricity, I seem to understand that you expect an increase of 8 million this year, and there was an 8 million before. There's nothing additional. So I'd like to have more colors on of the moving parts that lead to the guidance. Niccolò, I will start first, and then Bruna. So as far as services are concerned, you will have seen that in a stable market like the one in the first half, what the company is doing for this company, the commitment is very strong, and there has been a strong increase of services in the first half, which leads us to be optimistic also in the second half of this financial year. Of course, it will also depend on the number of pieces of the different product categories. In some categories, there is a decrease in terms of value more than volumes, and this is positive, actually, because it gives us the opportunity to keep growing in one of the categories that actually provide the highest margins, as we all know. We believe that services will still play an important role in the as in construction of this results of the second half. As to the guidance, I would like to start answering this question. What I can say is that on the energy cost, we have already set until February 2023, we have already set and established 50% of the cost of energy by establishing a price that protects us in case of unexpected rises in the coming months. So 50% is fixed. And since, however, we all wish that the energy cost decreases, that 50% enables us to benefit from any reductions. So the cost of energy that we estimated, as Mark was saying, of around 26 million, if this morning were to fix the other 50%, this would result in a slight decrease, not a material one, but a slight one for sure. So this protects us from huge peaks in increases, because at least 50% of the amount has been fixed. Of course, since we all wish for a decrease, and since we monitor these costs on a weekly basis, we see that there is a decrease for gas too. And we saw in the decree passed yesterday by the government that they reconfirmed the contribution and the aid for the energy costs. So this has been postponed until, extended until the end of the year, so this all goes well. So we feel pretty confident on that. And now I'd like to give the floor to Bruna and Marco to comment on the other questions. Good morning. Good morning, Nicolò. So questions are on the performance of consumer electronics and white goods. As you saw, in the first quarter, consumer electronics had a very staggering increase, 27%. In the second quarter, we see that all that increase not only had been eaten out, but we actually have a strongly negative figure. What is the forecast for this second half? I can confirm that September is once again very weak because of the in October too. So this has to do basically with the shrinking of the average ticket, because there is a strong shift of demand towards the convenient goods, and therefore there is a dip in the a collapse, in the average ticket, and this was not expected. After the declaration on the switch off, and 12th of November is now the final date to stop the basically state aid. So our estimate is about 5 million for the year. There was a different assumption at the start of the year, especially in terms of average value. So unfortunately, for consumer electronics, our forecast is negative. whereas white goods are holding up. First half, 0.7. Of course, the increase in the price is the first factor here. There is another insight. Customers are preferring high energy efficiency products, although in the convenience segment. So perhaps in the year, we can think of a stable value on the market, and this is a very important piece of information for us. Of course, this segment is driven by telecoms, everything here on the high end of the product. So which is the element to be considered? The share of Apple amounts to nearly 50%, and this is absolutely relevant. For example, we were expecting a decrease in IT post-pandemic and the return to a normal situation. So for the year, our forecast leads us, given the -0.9% consolidated figure, well, this leads us to estimate -3.5% for the full year, with the offline segment that is mostly suffering, and our estimate is -5%, and online still on the rise, but single digit. This is the evidence that we witness here now on the market. I'd like to give the floor to Marco about the guidance. I'd like to add something to the guidance, Nicolò, because you were asking about marketing. So I'd like to share with you how we put together the guidance in general terms. You will have noticed that last year EBIT was 72 million and now 35-40. There is a decrease of about 35 million euros. How did we get there? Revenues, we said, should decrease year-on-year, 2.9 billion, which means 50 million EBIT less and 8 million impact on EBIT. You should also consider that for all costs, marketing included, we have assumed in the second half the very same trend as in the first half. And indeed, in the first half, our costs that generated that effect on EBIT, we said there were about 14 million euros, including transportation, rents, and electricity. So this trend will also occur in the second half. We stabilized the energy, electricity, but generally speaking, we expect the same figure year-on-year. So that 14, in the second half, becomes 28. So 38 million on EBIT. So 28 costs, 8 million explains the delta between 72 and 35-40 that we are estimating for the year. So marketing in line to the previous year and in line with the first half, margins in line. So we have not forecast any deterioration. We basically have factored in a decreasing revenues because now we are +24. But we will see what will happen in the second half. So this is the way in which we have put together the guidance, generally speaking. I don't know whether I have answered your question, Nicolò, whereas if you need some further explanation, we are obviously available for you. No, that's great. Thank you.
Next question from Emanuele Negri, Mediobanca.
Good morning, and thank you for your presentation. I have a couple of questions. The first one is on the guidance and the guidance assumption and the evolution and trend that you see in the gross margin. We saw that there will be more promotions due to a weaker demand. So I'd like to know whether the gross margin could be impacted in the coming quarters or year due to the shift towards low-end products. Second question, M&A. In this scenario that is very complex for you and, of course, even more so for smaller players, can this somehow favor you in acquiring at lower valuations in order to catch up with the consolidation campaign that you slowed down slightly?
Thank you for your questions, really, because this helps us opening up a chapter that we had not tackled for quite some time. So I will answer the second question first, Giancarlo speaking. So as far as M&A is concerned, in the past few years, faced with a market that was rising double digits, so with the prices to acquire any possible targets very going up, we did not execute any M&As. But what we did do, we basically multiplied our direct stores. That's why we opened nine last year. This year, in the first half, we can say that the network was unchanged between openings and closures because, of course, we want to open stores where we do not have a footprint, but at the same time, there is a rationalization and downsizing process with stores that have to tackle the decrease in demand, so they need to be closed. So this is what has happened in the first half. Since the end of August to today, two new stores, one in Milan via Stelvio and one in Terni, which was one of the few cities, provinces where we did not have any presence. It's just been open for a few weeks, but there has been a very positive response from consumers. So in the past 2 years, M&As were really negligible for our company. But due to a precise and deliberate choice, because prices were too high, of course, with a decrease in demand like the one that we are witnessing, one thing is for sure, the process that has led us to perform 13 acquisitions in 15 years, we believe that this process will be up and coming again because the inefficiencies of our competitors who were very present before the COVID when a market that was pretty stable and swinging between +2 and -2 for many years. This was a market around 14.5 billion revenues, so it was always there. Well, you see, 17.7 billion was the result of the market last year. Now, we will see what will happen in the peak season because, of course, this will play an important role. What we can envisage is that with a market that will stay negative, I believe that many of our competitors will once again experience the issue they had before the pandemic. So M&A opportunities will open up definitely in the second half of 2023, if not in the first one. So we believe that we will resume this process, resume all these activities that have featured in the past 15 years in our company, because you know that Unieuro was the only player in the Italian market that actually performed acquisitions of competitors, thus becoming, as we said in 2017 when we went public, the Italian
market, as it was back then, is still very fragmented, and what UniEuro did was consolidating it. I'd like to recall that from the listing to today, we grew by over 1 billion, and this 1 billion revenues, 700 million basically have to do with the acquisition of our competitors. So this couple of years, plus 20%, of course, due to that, our potential targets changed their expectations. They became very expensive. So even what we did, we decided to sit and wait because of these high prices, and we, however, turned to openings. We opened 10 stores. We should not forget that opening 10 stores means executing a small acquisition. It is the same as if we had acquired a 10-store-strong competitor. So, as I said, I am positive in the second half, for the second half of 2023. And now, as for the guidance, I'll give the floor back to Marco. Guidance and gross margin. Let's start from the gross margin in the first half. The gross margin in the first half grew by 0.3. But beware, this is mostly linked to services, not just warranties, but also air conditioning. So we probably will not maintain the very same level of growth. 1.1 out of 0.3 is to do to products, not services. It has to do with the mix of favorable channel and product mix. So the in the first half, the margin of products was the same as the previous year. And in the second half, we believe that the margin will be unchanged because there is no favorable mix of channels, and we cannot confirm the performance in services because of the air conditioning that will probably drop. So why do we confirm an unchanged margin? And then, of course, we will see later on whether we were right or not. Our margin has three components. We buy at a certain price, we sell at a certain price, but in between, there is the support of suppliers. So even when we have seen an increase in the procurement costs, also thanks to our leadership position on the market, we were aided by suppliers, we're supported by them, and thanks to that, we were able to maintain margins unchanged in absence of the conventional pressure. So this is the kind of reasoning that we have gone through for the guidance, starting from the results of the last half. Next question by Dario Michi, BNP Paribas. Good morning, and thank you for your availability. The first question has to do an update on the situation in the industry, and also the what is the situation of the investments in a changed scenario. The second question, if you can give us colors of the benefits of investments so far, especially the digital ones. Thank you. I apologize. Could you repeat the first question? We did not hear it properly. Yes, the first question, an update on the development of the business plan in a context that changed dramatically vis-a-vis the time when the business plan was disclosed. Any take on that? Are you possibly revising the targets and strategies?
So we can't hear you very well, but what we understood is that you wanted an update in the projects included in the business plan, right? Yes. Thank you for your question. So the business plan is in full execution. I heard a sentence that you mentioned investments, especially in the digital channel. This is not the case. Investments are focused on the digital transformation of the company, and more specifically in the category management and duration planning, and also in the digital component in terms of experience. So in all, as far as all the three streams are concerned, I can confirm that we are moving according to plan. Well, the category management project, thanks to the analysis that we perform with our sales colleagues, it enables us to see some phenomena in advance. For example, thanks to the diagnostics that then leads our commercial structure to revise the targets, we saw a divergence between online and offline so that we can be more prompt to meet the needs of the market. There was a strong shift towards unknown brands. We saw that, and therefore this was added to the grid and the network. What did we slow down in order to shift some investment to tackle the crisis? For example, we are halfway through on the electronic labels, and the last tranche has been shifted to next year because there is an important investment because we want to manage better price convergence. This is a shift that does not really impact the plan of the company. As far as digital is concerned, a lot of experience improvements. NPS here, the offline online channel is the biggest contributor, plus 7.9% of the final end result. And this is the result of all the end-to-end processes that we implemented to improve these channels. So all investments, in a nutshell, they are in favor of omni-channel. They have to do with a cross-cutting process of the whole company, not just the digital. As you will have read in the press release, as our CEO said, plans are absolutely confirmed in terms of the most significant projects. Thank you. I'd like to remind you that if you want to ask a question, you can press star followed by one on your phone. Next question, follow up by Niccolò Storer, Kepler Cheuvreux. Mr. Storer, you can ask your question. Yes, here I am. Perhaps a comment on the guidance that you provided on the net cash at the end of the year, because I believe that it's really strong. Here, too, if you can give us an idea of the moving parts are for us, what is most difficult to estimate for us is the working capital. So perhaps this is the reason for the slight change in your guidance. Well, yes, I give you the difference compared to last year. Consensus is the analyst. Everyone does their own job. I explained to you why we wrote between 110 and 130, so 120 million. Last year, we closed 136. It's an easy math. 136 minus 27 dividends makes 109. We forecast to generate about 11 million euros cash. We have a net income between net income and EBIT adjusted, there's about 20 million difference. Also it's to do with tax. From 35 adjusted EBIT to 15-20 net income. If I sum add that, 136 minus 27, I reach 109. I should add 15-20 million euro of net income, and this would make 120 or 130. We expect a very slight change in net working capital between now and the end of the year because our current stock of 430 million euros. If it's between 430 or 440, due to the change in revenues that we see in the first half, this would have a slightly negative change. The trend in revenues, 2.9 billion, we would have to reduce the stock compared to current levels to avoid a small negative variation of the working capital on the year. If we envisage a small change, 5-7 million negative in the working capital, I deduct this to the 15-20 of the net income. I have a small positive cash flow, and the result is 120 million. The good thing here, is that in spite of the deterioration in the performance year-on-year, we keep on having a positive profit that does not rule out the dividend distribution. On top of that, we also have a small slight cash generation. Had it not been there, we would close the year with 110 million euros net financial position. If we do not generate cash, it's 110. If we do generate cash, we are above that. This is the reasoning behind the guidance. I don't know whether I was clear. What is missing, I believe, from your description is CapEx. Yes, that's right. With CapEx, no material changes there. We have CapEx less than 40 million. Last year it was 50 million, then it was 30 million. We will be at between 35 million and 40 million CapEx, which is similar to depreciation and amortization.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question from Mario Cupello Castagna, MCC Investments.
Good morning, and congratulations for your results and the very clear presentation.
Yes, from the Unieuro that sells technology, we're expecting a better performing microphone. First question, M&A. Your comment is that you keep not finding targets because the prices are rising. I'd like to know what these multiples are and when are these multiples too high for us? As a consequence, whether we have to expect a slower M&A vis-à-vis the years before and after the IPO.
A question on Lazio, the logistics hub. Will the logistics hub change considering the organic growth in central Italy? You are very much focused in northern Italy, and this logistics hub, will it have in central Italy a benefit from organic growth given the capital allocation? I wanted to know whether you could have a mix, not just of dividend, but also buyback. I don't know whether you have ever entertained this idea, but the stock dropped by 70%, 32 euros per share. And if you consider the guidance of the net cash at the end of the year. So basically, the company is net cash positive. So there is room for perhaps employing the capital. Thank you. So I will try and answer your question starting from the last question. As far as dividends are concerned, as Marco was saying before, we think that we can reconfirm our dividend policy, and I'd like to recall it is at least 50% of net income adjusted. So as of today, we are in the position to reconfirm that dividend policy. Then as far as buyback is concerned, we will consider the conditions later on, because it is very much linked to the performance of the peak season. It's true that we are cash positive, but we would like to have a free hand and availability in order to achieve what you hinted at in your first question, that is for M&A. As I said before, in the last 15 years, we performed acquisitions where multiples were extremely low, because we have always, nearly always, taken over companies that were struggling, that were in dire straits. Somebody was in a receivership. So this has always helped us, and performing acquisitions with extremely low multiples and prices. The latest important acquisition, the Pistone one, 12 stores in Sicily, a company that was performing pretty well, but the price paid in that instance, we paid a percentage of their revenues that was higher than double digits, so 10% of their revenues, because usually we would pay much less, because we would take over a business that was nearly over negative in terms of EBITDA, whereas we then used as a parameter the percentage of their revenues. As I said, that in the past 2 years, and the market had exploded and boomed by 20%, and you can imagine what kind of effect and repercussion this had on our potential targets that we had in the pipeline, that we still have in our pipeline. And we were asked to pay percentages of revenues, and not only were they higher than double digit, but it was even as high up as 30-40% of their revenues. And this obviously convinced us that it was advisable to avoid this kind of deal because of the huge costs. And we were forced to wait and see, because we claim that in a market that will close in a negative territory,
in the best case scenario, whether it is 3 or 3.5 points, but especially in the offline channel, it will be at least 5-6 points given this scenario. There will be somebody even losing 15 to 20 points. This should basically moderate prices so that we can resume the process that we have covered in the past 15 years when we really were the aggregator, the consolidator of the market. We started off during the IPO and then we did it later on too, and we expect this to come back. I say it once again, possibly not in the first half of 2023, but if the market trend was to stay what it is, we are convinced that in the second half of the year, opportunities might arise in the offline, in the offing. You see, we are still monitoring many different opportunities. We have many in the pipeline, but with since we have a very pervasive presence nationwide, you have to be careful at the target that we want to acquire, because whatever chain we might want to acquire, it might result in cannibalization and overlapping in specific areas that where we already have our own presence. So in this case, we will have to consider what it means to perform an acquisition. For example, a tag with 15-20 stores, what kind of impact would it have on our current stores network? Because cannibalization means a decrease in value. So this is one of the reasons why we basically decided to sit and wait in terms of M&A. But I say it once again, I am extremely confident, especially in the second half of 2023. And we should not forget that when we disclosed the business plan a year ago, we said that a company should not only grow through acquisitions or of physical network or stores, but we have the need to speed up some processes inside our company, and this is driving us to consider acquisitions, potential acquisitions, having as target small companies or startups that could be a booster in pushing our company's growth, not just for retail, but also in terms of experience, customer experience. And I can say, and I can be proud at this, that the consistent rise of the NPS, and this is the best parameter of the trust of our consumers, this definitely rewards what we have been doing in the past few years in terms of customers. So we will be following this trend. We will consider and what kind of stores to open. We will keep considering potential targets in other domains and fields too, and we are already doing this. And it also, in order to answer the question on the logistics hub that will probably take place in the final part of 2023, this is being performed with the objective of improving the level of service that we guarantee our customers. Because as you can see, the timing of delivery of our goods plays a very important role in an omni-channel company like ours. We want to be a truly omni-channel company, and this leads us to perform specific investments that can result in an improvement in the customer experience. I say it once again, the constant and continuous rise at the NPS
confirms that our customers are appreciating our strategy. I think I have answered all your questions. Please let me know if this is not the case. Thank you. For the time being, there are no other questions on the line. Very well. So if there are no further questions, I would like to thank everyone. And also I thank you all on behalf of Marco and Bruna. Thank you for all the questions that you asked us. But anyway, our company, our people are obviously available for you. And also our new IR is available for you. Thank you very much and enjoy your day.